Chapter 2. The Moon Crumbles. Helplessness is a pain worse than any that has come before it. Madara sits at Izuna's bedside, gripping his hand, listening to the rasp of his uneven breath getting slower and slower. There is nothing to be done, no way the medics know of to help him, and so Madara's little brother is dying an inch at a time. Later, there will be time for rage. Later, there will be time for hate. For now, the only thing in Madara's heart is a desperate, tearing sort of grief. The desolation of knowing that soon the last of his brothers will meet his end. And, worst of all, there is no way Madara, with all of his ability, can even slow the approach of death. He curses Tobirama, curses his own preoccupation with Hashirama that he hadn't noticed Izuna's peril in time to save him, curses the Senju for this bloody war, for his brothers long lost, for the grief in Hashirama's eyes when Izuna fell. He doesn't want anyone's sympathy. He just wants his little brother to survive. The slim fingers he's gripping so tightly twitch, and Madara catches his breath, watching the way Izuna's eyes flicker restlessly beneath the thin eyelid. He lets out a short, breathless sound of pain, and Madara feels like he's been gutted, like someone has ripped the lungs from his chest. With a soft cry that is fraught with pain and frustration, Madara bows his head, pressing his forehead to the back of Izuna's hand. The skin is cold and getting colder, and Madara can practically feel the life slipping out of him, draining away through the deadly wound beside his spine. "Please," he whispers, and can't even bring himself to finish the plea. That will mean saying, "Don't die," or "Don't leave me," and Madara refuses to so much as acknowledge the idea of a world without Izuna in it. He would give his life for his brother in a moment if that would save Izuna. Would give it happily, without hesitation or regret, because there will be nothing left of him if Izuna passes. The world will become a black, empty, gaping pit, swallowing up whatever remains of Madara's sanity and leaving him with absolutely nothing. His clan will go on, but Madara will be left a ghost, a shadow, a wraith prowling for blood and ever hungry for revenge. Nothing will be able to save him. And worst of all, Madara will not want to be saved. He fears what he'll do if that comes to pass. There's a knock on the door, barely audible even in the stifling hush of the room, and Madara slowly lifts his head. He knows no one would dare disturb him unless it was a matter of life or death, and it's only the reluctant acknowledgement of that fact that makes him turn, staring blankly at the woman waiting there. It's a scout, one of the team sent towards the Senju compound. She looks breathless and anxious in equal measure. The moment his eyes land on her, she dips into a low bow and says quickly, "My lord, we came across Senju Tobirama in the forest. 3 squads went to detain him. They should be returning shortly." The white-hot surge of fury that erupts in Madara's veins makes him snarl. He's on his feet before he can even think of moving, halfway across the room and striding towards the door. The kunoichi flinches out of his path, ducking her head again. But Madara doesn't spare her so much as a glance. He thinks of Tobirama's cold expression, unwavering even as he drove his sword through Izuna's flesh. Thinks of the flick of one hand that sent bright beads of blood scattering from a sword, and he hates. Hates with a fury as hot as the sun, more deadly than any poison. All he can think of is driving Tobirama to his knees, hearing him beg for mercy as Madara returns the favor and leaves him to die with agonizing slowness, abandoned in the dirt as he deserves. Somewhere beneath the anger is concern, a faint flicker of panic, because he's seen Tobirama fight, and 9 shinobi will hardly be enough to bloody his blade. 3 squads at risk, 9 more Uchiha who will fall to the pitiless monster, and Madara can't allow that. He grabs one of the decorative gunbai on the hallway wall and breaks into a run that blurs the world. Three long bounds carry him across the main courtyard, and then another takes him through the gates just as they open and... He stops short, eyes narrowing, because the squads are approaching. All nine shinobi alive and unwounded, warily grouped around the man walking between them. A familiar man, except not as Madara has ever seen him before. There's no armor, no face guard, no marks of any weapons, and the usually proud stance has been replaced by stooped shoulders, a bowed head. It isn't anywhere near enough to temper the rage. "You!" he snarls, moving forward in a blur that sends shinobi scattering before him. Tobirama looks up at the sound of his voice, eyes locking on him. And then Madara is right in front of him, gunbai abandoned, swinging hard. It's only when he's standing over the sprawled form, knuckles stinging from the force of the punch, that he realizes. Tobirama didn't try to dodge. He didn't even move with the blow to lessen its impact. And Madara is familiar enough with his speed and reflexes to know that he could have. That's enough to make him pause, words reasserting themselves, and he growls furiously, reaching down and fisting a hand in silver hair. He drags Tobirama back to his knees, jerks his head back at a painful angle, and holds him there as he leans down to snarl in his face. "What do you want? Have you come to finish the job, Senju?" Blood-red eyes fall shut, and Tobirama breathes out, careful and slow. "No," he says, a hoarse rasp. "I came to face your justice for my actions." Madara freezes, fingers tightening punishingly in the Senju's hair. The rage is receding, washed away by a tide of confusion. On instinct, he lets his eyes bleed into the hyper-awareness of the Sharingan, cataloging everything about the man before him. Tobirama's heart is racing, pulse fluttering rapidly in his throat, and his calm expression belies the very faint tremors running through him. They're too small to be an affectation, but the only reason that Madara can think of for a reaction like that is not just fear, but terror. Tobirama has faced down the very best of the clans, Uchiha and Nara and Hatake and every other power in this fractured world, and not once has Madara ever seen him show even a hint of this tightly bound panic. Logic makes its reappearance, along with suspicion. Madara gives a low snarl and shakes Tobirama hard by the grip on his hair, making him open his eyes again. He meets Madara's gaze squarely, and it takes effort for Madara to ignore the fear that flickers there as well. "Justice!" he spits. "What justice can there be when you're responsible for my brother bleeding out? The only thing you're good for any longer is death, you bastard. Did you think that coming here would earn you my mercy?" Another long, slow breath, and Tobirama shakes his head just slightly. "No, I knew." Knew what would happen, what Madara would feel upon seeing him. Knew he'd be lucky not to die on the forest road at some overzealous shinobi's hand. Madara is savagely glad that he didn't. He wants the satisfaction of tearing his brother's murderer apart personally. That thought gives rise to another, a twist of suspicion and bracing fury. He lets go with a hard shove, knocking Tobirama back into the dirt and looms over him to hiss. "This is your plan, Senju. I wouldn't have thought you had the guts, but I suppose it's clever. I kill you, so Hashirama kills me, and any chance of ending the war is gone forever. You send us spiraling back into the chaos with one simple move. Brilliant." Madara expects fear at being called out, fury that Madara figured out his plan, smug satisfaction that the Uchiha have played right into his hands. What he gets instead is a flicker of surprise, uncertainty, and then, "No," Tobirama says again. He twists, pulling himself back to his knees. And from this angle, Madara can see the ninja wire binding him has cut through the sleeves of his loose kimono shirt and into his skin, leaving deep lacerations that drip blood down his back. There's only savage satisfaction to be found in response. Tobirama spilled far more of Izuna's blood after all. Another careful breath, nearly touched with pain, but steady nevertheless. And Tobirama looks up to lock eyes with Madara again. "No," he repeats. "Hashirama won't look for me for at least 3 days. And when he does, if he does, Toka will tell him I'm on a mission. When I don't return, after a week, she'll give him my letter. I explained everything. Hashirama won't seek retribution. I swear to it." Madara can't even comprehend such a thing. Not Tobirama's words, not his certainty in Hashirama's actions or lack thereof. They're brothers, aren't they? Even with Tobirama offering himself like some sort of sacrifice, if that's truly what this is, Madara will have caused the younger man's death. Surely Hashirama won't be able to overlook such a thing, the same way Madara wouldn't be able to overlook Hashirama killing Izuna. "Why?" he demands sharply, snatching at the collar of Tobirama's shirt and giving him another furious shake. "You were safe hiding behind your brother. Why come when only death awaits you?" The tremor in Tobirama's muscles is easing, fading. There's only resignation left in his eyes, beating out even the fear there. "Because it was my doing," he says simply. "I acted on my own, as a shinobi facing an enemy, and killed your brother. I know the pain of losing a sibling, Madara, and I can see the pain I caused Hashirama when I forced you to turn against him. Were I able to rewind time, I would hold my final blow. As it is, this is all I can offer you for Izuna's death." There's only confusion, twisting and tearing at Madara, as the grief once did. He can't think on Tobirama's words, can't pick them apart the way he normally would. Only one thing manages to stand out to him, and it makes him snarl with fury, dragging Tobirama up to turn and slam him against the wall of the compound. "Shut up!" he screams, pressing an arm against Tobirama's throat and cracking his skull against wood. "Shut up, you bastard! Stop saying you killed him! Izuna's not dead yet!" Something flickers in Tobirama's eyes, and it's only when life flares in them that Madara realizes it was never gone. "He's not?" Tobirama chokes around the block of Madara's forearm. And that's hope on his face. Or Madara is completely blind and witless besides. "I take me to him," the senju says almost desperately. "Please, I can help him. There's a jutsu." "You've done enough!" Madara roars, slapping him across the face. "You murdering filth!" "I can," Tobirama insists, facing him again without hesitation, one hair shy of desperate. "Madara, isn't it worth it to let me try? At this point..." He doesn't finish, but Madara can hear the words hovering unspoken. "At this point, what more harm could I do?" And he wants to refuse, wants to say no, throw Tobirama to the ground and stab him through the heart right here and now, but for all Izuna's words on the battlefield, warning him not to trust the senju, Madara wants to save his little brother more than anything, more than he cares for his safety even. If there's the slimmest chance that Tobirama is speaking the truth, "Tell me," he demands after a long moment. "Tell me this technique." There's no flicker of triumph, as Madara half expected. Just relief, blending in with calculation and cool determination as animation bleeds back into Tobirama's features. Madara hadn't recognized the change in him, but the blank expression before had been a death mask, a final front put up to fool the world. This is genuine, real, and the change is astounding. "Cellular regeneration, fueled by a large concentration and steady influx of chakra," Tobirama says, carefully, watching Madara's face as if looking for comprehension. Startlingly, it reminds Madara that he's used to dealing with Hashirama, who, for all his genius, doesn't give a damn how things work, only that they do. It must be targeted and incredibly specific, but I've used it to regrow organs in animals. Never on a human, but I believe it will work. There's the faintest hint of a challenge in his eyes as he holds Madara's gaze, a shadow of the Tobirama that Madara has faced across a battlefield, and the implication is clear. Will you take the chance with your brother's life or not? Will you put his life in my hands? Madara would. To keep Izuna alive, to keep Izuna breathing and beside him, he'd do much, much worse. Even if you save him, Madara warns, voice shaking with a tightly knotted relief that's matched only by his seething fury. He won't escape. I'll find the deepest, darkest cell we have and make it your tomb. But if you do save Izuna, I won't kill you myself. Tobirama doesn't look surprised, just resigned, and nods once. With one last sneer, Madara jerks his arm away and takes petty pleasure in how the younger man crumples, landing hard on his knees at Madara's feet. He waves a hand, gesturing two of the watching shinobi closer, and orders them, "Bring him, and send someone for a medic to observe the process." One of the men takes off towards the infirmary, while another two shinobi step forward to grab Tobirama and haul him to his feet. Madara doesn't wait for him to find his balance, but strides back the way he came, heart pounding in his throat. He's been gone barely 10 minutes, but what if in that time the unthinkable happened? What if, in the very moment some small, faint bit of hope appeared, Izuna left the world entirely? It doesn't bear considering. But his worry is for nothing when he steps into the room. Izuna's breathing is still steady, if ragged. Madara immediately crosses to the far side of the bed, sinking down on his knees and taking his brother's hand again. Even as he does, Izuna's eyes flicker, then slide open, and he takes a raspy breath. "Brother?" "Izuna," Madara answers, unable to resist reaching out to touch his cheek lightly. Izuna smiles weakly at him, then manages, "You need my eyes, so..." Horror rises like bile, and Madara grips the cold hand tightly. "No," he says, sees the anger and hurt flicker over Izuna's face, then relents. "Not yet," he allows instead. "We have one more thing to try." Confusion mixes with hope, and Izuna turns his head slightly. His eyes fall on Tobirama being dragged in, stumbling between two Uchiha with his arms still tightly bound, and he makes as though to reach for a weapon. Madara catches that hand too, but doesn't offer an explanation. "Unbind him," he says flatly, even as one of the medics ducks in behind them and closes the door. Kasumi, a scowl twisting the burn scar on her face, shoves Tobirama to his knees and quickly unwinds the wire, then steps back. Tobirama doesn't glance at her, doesn't glare, doesn't even rub at his bleeding arms. Instead, he rises to his feet, takes 3 steps, and folds to kneel again. 1 half-second glance at Izuna's furious glare, and then he looks away again, focusing on the wound. Chakra gathers around his hand, pale green, and he reaches out, eyes narrowing in concentration. After a moment of hesitation, the medic slips forward to kneel at the foot of the bed, placing a green, glowing hand of her own on Izuna's leg. "Well?" Madara asks her sharply, though he keeps his voice low. The woman shakes her head. "Ran told me what he plans to do. I can't imagine anyone else managing it, Lord Madara," she confesses. "Chakra control like that is incredibly rare, especially when coupled with the necessary strength. But I think it's working. He's forcing the cells to divide more quickly, repairing everything from the inside." Madara supposes that if anyone has the precision and strength for such a thing, it would be Tobirama Senju. There's certainly nothing weak about him. To be able to defeat Izuna, who is very nearly Madara's equal, proves as much. "Izuna?" he murmurs, glancing back at his brother. and is astonished to see that there's already color seeping back into his face, and his eyes are losing the glassiness they've had since the battle. He sucks in a full, deep breath, seeming startled that he can, and meets Marara's gaze with confusion and relief both clear. "How?" he whispers. Marara simply shakes his head, turning narrowed eyes back to the Senju crouched across from him. Tobirama's face is paler than usual, and there's sweat beading on his brow. His chest is heaving as though he's been running for leagues, but his hands are steady and his red eyes are focused. As Marara watches, the glow around his fingers flickers, like a candle guttering in the wind, and he pulls back, sinking down on his heels with a sound that's nearly a groan. He reaches up, as if to wipe the sweat from his forehead, but his hands don't make it all the way, falling limply back to his side. "Feeling?" he manages, even though he's swaying like a drunk, and it's clearly directed at Izuna. Izuna hesitates for a long moment before he braces one elbow under himself and slowly pushes up. Surprise flickers across his face, and then he sits up fully, tugging his yukata back up over his shoulders. A twinge makes him wince, but Marara knows his brother, knows how he looks when he's truly in pain, and that was the face he'd make to an overworked muscle, not a mortal wound. He's healed. With a sound that's purely relief, Marara lunges forward and snatches his little brother into a tight hug, all of his fear and worry and bleak hopelessness falling away like shed skin. He crushes Izuna to him, buries his face in feathery black hair, and laughs because the only other option is to cry. "Thank you," he whispers, and couldn't say whether it's directed at Tobirama or Izuna or the gods themselves. "Thank you, thank you." Izuna wraps his arms around Marara in return, stroking over his back, cradling his head and humming softly, the way Marara used to when he soothed Izuna out of a night terror. "I'm okay," he whispers back. "I'm all right, brother. I'm okay. It's fine." It's not. Marara has never come so close to losing Izuna before, never stood on the precipice of an empty world and watched it rise to swallow him. Peace would be worth it, if just for that, he thinks. If only so he never had to face that terror again. He knows already that Izuna won't agree. But little brothers never do. Marara's argued him back to sense before. He can do it again, especially if this is what's at stake. When he finally manages to pull away, Tobirama is watching them, his expression carefully blank, even though his eyes are heavy-lidded and he looks about to collapse where he's sitting. "His fault," Marara thinks, and the thought is edged with crimson fury. Maybe it's petty, but even with Izuna being alive and well next to him, he can't forget that just half an hour ago his little brother was on the verge of death. "Take him to the cells," he orders flatly, "and assemble a guard. I want him given no liberties." Kasumi steps forward, one hand hesitating at her weapons pouch, and then seems to come to a decision. Her mouth settles into a firm line, and she leans down to take Tobirama carefully by the elbow. A sharp look from her has her partner, Hikaku, rolling his eyes long-sufferingly and stepping forward as well. He takes the Senju's other arm, avoiding the deep cuts, and together they get him on his feet. Tobirama lists slightly, stumbling, but keeps his balance as the pair guides him out. The door slides shut behind them with a soft thump. There's a moment of silence before Marara turns away, only to meet sharp eyes that have always managed to see through his bluster. Izuna looks grim and serious, though there's a damnable and always destructive spark of curiosity buried in black eyes. "What are you going to do with him?" "Let him rot," Marara answers flatly, hoping that will be the end of it, and then pushes to his feet. "Are you hungry? Thirsty? I'll find a servant." "I don't think so." With only the faintest grimace, Izanev follows him up, moving easily. He's momentarily distracted, poking interestedly at his former wound. But before Marara can even start to get his hopes up, his little brother grabs his arm. "And don't think you're getting out of telling me how the hell that even happened," he adds pointedly, giving Marara a meaningful look. Marara rolls his eyes, but doesn't bother to fight the smile, full of relief, that creeps over his face. "I wouldn't dream of it," he promises, and can't remember the last time he meant something more. When they lead him to the cell, Tobirama collapses into the hard cot, closes his eyes, and sleeps for an entire turn of the clock. The next time he wakes up, Marara is waiting. Slowly, Tobirama pushes himself upright on the bed, ignoring both the twinge in his arms and the furious Uchiha pacing outside the bars. He rakes a hand through his hair, still in his eyes, damn it, and takes a careful breath, trying to force his brain to work. Unlike his brother, he's not a morning person. An early riser, certainly, but that's mostly because he needs at least an hour and a very strong cup of tea to manage any sort of coherence. Edging in on chakra exhaustion only makes it worse. One glance at Marara is enough to realize that he's hardly going to be allowed any such leeway right now. The fear that had returned when he was on his knees before the Uchiha is gone faded into the low background buzz that would be just enough to sharpen his reflexes were the submission. It's a shinobi's friend, rather than the unnerving dread of staring death in the face without any way to counter it. Perhaps it's because there are bars between them now. Perhaps it's because Izuna is alive and well again. Tobirama has solid, undeniable proof that his decision was a success. That his death, if it still comes to that, was not an empty gesture. Izuna is alive, and that's enough to banish the bleak future Tobirama saw looming. "I don't believe you," Marara spits, coming to a sudden halt and whirling to face him. He levels a threatening finger at Tobirama and adds in a snarl, "Sit there content, Senju, but I won't let you harm my clan, no matter what you're planning." The bluntness of lingering sleep, exhaustion, sheer relief, regardless of the reason, Tobirama rolls his eyes and doesn't regret it. He leans back, bracing himself against the cool stone wall, and fixes Marara with a flat look. "I'm aware," he says, and it comes out with a bit more of a dry bite than he had intended, but he doesn't regret that either. "But regardless of what you believe, Marara, I planned nothing beyond my arrival. I wasn't even aware of Izuna's continued survival." A mistake to word it like that. Rage flares on Marara's face, fury and grief and terror all twisted up into something overwhelmingly bitter and vicious. He grabs the bars because he can't reach Tobirama's throat, and when he speaks, it's a malicious little hiss, deadly enough to raise the hairs on Tobirama's arms in purely instinctive animal terror. "Predator," that tone screams, and Tobirama is in tune enough with his instincts to understand that. "You've never been more fortunate, Senju. Any later, one breath less in my brother's body, and I would have strung you up and cut pieces off for weeks, never letting you die when you begged for it. And you would. I promise you, you would have." The curl of a snarl, and black eyes spin into bloody crimson as the Sharingan comes to life. Tobirama could look away. He knows as well as any shinobi the dangers of the Sharingan, which so easily blends reality and genjutsu. But he had come to the Uchiha lands prepared for anything, braced for whatever torture or execution Marara would choose. That he's escaped an outright death doesn't change his resolve. If this is what will allow Marara's anger to abate enough for him to consider peace, so be it. If this will be enough to save Hashirama's dream, Tobirama will endure it without hesitation. He meets Marara's pinwheel eyes squarely and doesn't allow himself to waver. There's a flicker of chakra, a surge of something, and Tobirama opens his eyes to find himself back on yesterday's battlefield. Then the skirmish was more or less equal, if tipped slightly in the Senju's favor. Both parties had departed with similar losses, aside from Isuna and his near-mortal wound. Now it looks like a field of slaughter. The clan members he's grown up with, led into countless battles, talked with and mourned with and sparred with, all lie dead. The battlefield is littered with corpses, the ground stained a dark rust red with spilled blood. Closest to him is Tokka, sprawled on her back with wide, sightless eyes gone dim with death. One hand is stretched towards him, futilely grasping, and her Naginata is broken into three pieces beside her. Beyond her are others, corpses thick upon the ground, and Tobirama feels bile rise in his throat. He takes a step forward, the ground sucking at his sandals, and then can't manage a single centimeter more. Somewhere, tucked away behind his thoughts, in the very back of his mind, is the recognition that this is a genjutsu, a brilliant one, calculated to unnerve and deftly crafted based on his own memories and greatest fears, but still an illusion. The strength is gone from his body. Tobirama sinks slowly to his knees. He closes his eyes, doesn't touch any of the familiar corpses, but it doesn't matter. He sees them anyways, and he already knows that he always will. This is a scene from his nightmares. After all, common, but all the more devastating for it. Now sure to be revisited in exquisite, shattering detail whenever the night terrors come. If Madara was looking to cause him pain, he couldn't have chosen a better image. "Failed," a little voice whispers on the wind, bereft and hurt. The voices of countless dead, and Tobirama knows and could name each one of them. "Why didn't you save us? Why did we have to die while you lived?" Tobirama is a strong man, accustomed to loss. He was born to war and has no doubt that he'll die the same way, but he buries his face in his hands and tries very hard not to weep. He hasn't in years, not since he was a very small child. And impending death or not, he won't let Marara bring him to that. Sometimes he thinks that if he ever starts, he won't stop until he's drowned himself with his own tears. Marara tells himself that all he feels is satisfaction as he turns his back on the bowed, shaking figure in the cell. He tells himself that it's justice, that the man who so nearly murdered Izuna deserves no less. He tells himself that the twisting lurch in his gut is not his conscience, but savage pleasure at Tobirama's pain. He tells himself that he believes it, that it's true, and doesn't allow his steps to falter.